Ignition, Chapter 12, Bonus Chapter, The Most Important Lessons I've Learned. Building a business is a wild ride. Sometimes you'll feel like you're on top of the world when you're making a huge profit, especially when you make your first low-ticket, medium-ticket, and high-ticket sales. And other times, you'll feel like the whole world is crumbling around you. But it's the people who persevere through these hard times that are rewarded with a life-changing business that they're pleased to wake up to every morning. I remember one specific hard time a few years ago when I was in a car crash, I had a period of anxiety attacks, my wife at the time had a brain tumor scare, my mother-in-law at the time died twice but was resuscitated both times, another family member attempted suicide, I had a giant tax bill from the government, which was larger than I expected and struggled to pay off on time, we'd adopted a dog who had a whole host of behavior issues, and more. And this was all in the same 3-month period. Then not long after that, I had to endure a messy divorce. Through all of this, I had to keep the business going and put on a smiley face for my customers and clients. Talk about stressful. So, things don't always go to plan, and you shouldn't expect them to. You'll often be better prepared if you expect the worst. However, there are 10 important lessons or golden nuggets I've learned about running an online business around my perfect lifestyle. Lesson 1. Incremental action. Even if you're super busy and life tends to get in the way, it's all about taking incremental action whenever you're able. Don't be one of those people who says, "I'll do it tomorrow when I have more time," as life will always get in the way, and you'll always feel like you never have enough time. In fact, there will be times when you struggle to spend more than 30 minutes per week working on your business. But 30 minutes per week is 2 hours per month, which is 2 hours more than you'd be able to work if you keep putting things off until the time fairy magically extends your day to 32 hours per day, which is never going to happen. So, keep moving forward. Even if you only have a small amount of time per week due to your busy life, and you'll keep moving in the right direction to achieve your goals. Lesson 2. Avoid vanity metrics. It's not just about how much profit you make, but how much you keep. Many marketers throw sales numbers around just to inflate their own egos or to sell more of their products. But the truth is, not everyone is honest about how much money they actually take home. For example, when people create bad products intentionally just to make a quick buck, they lose a lot of it to refunds, yet they won't show those refunds in their screenshots. Also, when people are showing their Amazon earnings, they usually forget to mention they only take home between 1 to 6% of that amount in commissions. Oh, and don't get me started on how people brag about the opt-in rate on their squeeze page being above 80%. I'd happily take a lower opt-in rate for a greater number of sales every day of the week. Even worse is when people seek out to have a huge number of followers on social media, and some of my clients have even paid tens of thousands of dollars to do so. Yet, you can't pay your mortgage with followers. You pay it with profit. So, focus on what's important and avoid any other vanity metrics, no matter how tempting it may be. Lesson 3. Don't avoid your responsibilities. Even though it's an online business, you still have responsibilities to stay within the law and make your contributions to society. The main thing that always screws me over every year is when the tax bill arrives. So, always put money aside for large unexpected tax bills from the government. We aren't immune to the normal business stuff, and seeing a tax invoice for over $100,000 is scary to say the least. Having a good accountant who understands international business helps to legally reduce the amount of tax you owe though, and is so worth it. You should also be sure to have all the correct legal documents in place, e.g. privacy policy, disclaimer and so on, not to mention making sure all your products and sales copy is within the law. It only takes one dissatisfied customer who's had a bad day to draw attention to you, then you can lose everything. So, don't risk it. Lesson 4. Your lifestyle should be king. Doing things you enjoy in life is good for the soul. If you're working all the hours in the day and feel overwhelmed with the amount of stuff you need to get done, there's nothing more productive than taking a small break. Life is here to be enjoyed. Remember why you started this business in the first place. Most likely to provide yourself with a better lifestyle. After all, it may be tempting to listen to the influencers telling you to work 27 hours per day because of the quote-unquote grind. But when lying on your deathbed, are you going to say, "I wish I'd have worked more"? Probably not. Instead, you'll have wished you enjoyed life more and to the fullest. Money is just a means to an end, with that end being your perfect lifestyle. Truthfully, I could have worked my fingers to the bone to grow my business to beyond $10 million per year instead of the $750,000 or so per year I'm at now, as of writing this book. But I would have lost my perfect lifestyle doing so. At the relatively young age of 29 years old, I've travelled most of the world, owned a Lamborghini, bought my dream house, lived in two foreign countries, fell in love with my dream woman, experienced a lot of the incredible wonders in life, and much more. Many people haven't done half of these things by the time they get to 50 years old. But most of these experiences that I'll remember forever wouldn't have been possible if I was 100% focused on my business. Personally, I'd rather intentionally live this better lifestyle than have more digits in my bank account that I'm too busy to use. Not to mention that some less than ideal clients will have you working every hour of every day, including Sundays, regardless of whether you want to or not. So, you need to set boundaries with your time, otherwise people will walk all over you. That's why I don't get notifications related to my business on my phone, as this ensures I don't get distracted by work when I'm trying to relax, which can often lead to anxiety. Plus, the only people who have access to my phone number are my employees. Again, it's about taking control of your time and seeing it as the most valuable thing you own. I also work Monday to Friday, around 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and sometimes a few hours on Saturday morning if I'm not busy with anything else, then have Sunday off completely. But, of course, some days I'll decide not to work at all if I have something exciting to do, like spending time with friends, going to special events, traveling, taking vacations, and so on. To me, that's the true definition of a business focused around your lifestyle, not the other way around. After finishing work, I don't check my business emails or do anything that's going to generate a thought of, "I'll just do this one thing quickly," while you're supposed to be relaxing. It's bad for your mental health and bad for your relationships. This kind of lifestyle may not be possible for you when you're just starting your business, as you'll have to put in a lot of effort and hours to kickstart your business and begin making a profit. Not to mention that entrepreneurs are often impatient to see success. But once you've gained some traction, that's usually the best time to start designing your business around your perfect lifestyle. After all, once you've achieved some kind of success, give yourself permission to actually enjoy that success. Lesson 5. Know your prospects inside out. Research is everything. Although it isn't sexy or exciting at first, you'll struggle to make any sales online without the right kind of research. Most people skip this step because they think they know what their prospects want, or decide they're going to teach what they want to teach, and the right people will find their information. But that's not how business works. Following those kinds of ideas is only going to lead to creating something that nobody wants to buy. Even if you're a seasoned expert, it's worth double checking what the current state of your marketplace is every now and again. So always make sure you truly know your prospects inside and out. Lesson 6. Logic versus emotion. Always separate your logical thoughts from your emotional thoughts. You can't and shouldn't run a business on emotional knee-jerk reactions. Otherwise, you're going to make some terrible decisions. For example, One time, a customer bought my $27 product and clicked the Yes, upgrade my order button on two of my upsells, making his order come to roughly $160. He then emailed us a few days later saying we'd, quote unquote, committed fraud because we didn't have his permission to take the other two payments, keeping in mind that we never take payments without people's permission, as that's just a real douchey thing to do. We tried calling him to discuss this and say the payments were taken because he clicked the yes button, but he didn't pick up the phone. So we replied to his support ticket explaining the above, asking him how he'd like to move forward, an instant refund or to go through the products he'd purchased first before making a decision whether to refund or not. No reply. The next day, we received another email from him with more accusations of how we're all quote-unquote crooks and should go to hell for being worse than the devil incarnate. We replied to his email again, copy and pasting our original reply to him and asking him to check his emails. 5 minutes after his last email, he said he was at the police station opening an investigation and was making sure I would get held by immigration whenever I flew to a different country. He also threatened us with the FBI, going to the bank's headquarters in England, and so on. At this point, my knee-jerk reaction was to turn into the Hulk, call this guy a complete a-hole, and unload around 3 days of pent-up rage onto him. But even when the customer isn't right, you have to remain professional and reply in a logical, rational way. Despite not picking up the phone again, we tried with a different email address and magically he received our response. We let him know that we'd already refunded his payments a few days ago. Then after a few more emails back and forth, the whole situation was resolved. Logically, the reason why this customer got so annoyed so quickly was probably because he'd been scammed before, possibly for thousands of dollars, and all the money he had left was probably important to him for some reason. Either that, or he probably had a lot going on in his life, so he was already on a short fuse and needed to take it out on somebody else to make himself feel better and more in control. So, before doing anything, think to yourself, is this an emotional decision or a logical one? Then rethink decisions through logically and approach them rationally and strategically. Lesson 7. Copy is king. Even if you have an amazing product, if your copy sucks, your prospects aren't going to ever see how amazing it is. This is typically why I think of the angle for the copy first before I start creating the product. Remember, your sales pages and other marketing materials need to stir up emotion within your prospects and persuade them to buy of their own free will. Simply telling them about the nuts and bolts of your product and shouting at them until they buy isn't going to cut it. That's why you should start learning how to write good copy from day one, even if you hire a copywriter, as this will increase your persuasion skills and boost your results with everything you do, including your content, your follow-up emails, your pre-selling pages, and everything else. Generally, the better you are at writing in a persuasive way, the easier you're going to find it to make a profit. Lesson 8. It's always about your prospects. When people first get started, they often have a few ideas for how they'd like their online business to be. Whether it's ideas for marketing angles, ideas for products, ideas for website designs, ideas for content, or pretty much anything, everything is based around their own ideas. But there's one big problem with doing this. You're not the one buying your products. Or in other words, what you think people want probably isn't what people actually want. Yep, there's a difference between the two. For example, in the weight loss niche, the average prospect knows they need to stop looking for the magic diet, which is going to fix everything quickly, because it doesn't exist, and to change their eating and exercise habits in the long term. So that's why most marketers will decide to create a legitimate weight loss program that gives people the truth. However, as soon as these same prospects find a product which promises quick results with a quote-unquote new kind of method, the prospects will often choose that over what they should be following. So, As a business owner, you'll always make more money by finding out what people actually want, then give it to them, without letting your own biases and opinions influence your business. I know this is pretty difficult to take on board as a new business owner, as it's your baby, and you want to build a legacy you can be proud of. However, you can still do that, just by changing the positioning and marketing of your offers to match what people are looking for. Now, this doesn't mean you need to sell crap. In fact, I encourage you not to, as you should always be trying to help people. But to sell something that people really need, you have to position it as something they want. That way, you have the best of both worlds. You'll make a lot more sales, while people get the aha moments they've been looking for. Lesson 9. The money is in the list. Your email list is everything. If the proverbial hits the fan with your traffic methods, if you have an email list, you can still generate traffic to your offers on demand, meaning even though your traffic generation stops, your income doesn't have to. So, place a big emphasis on building that audience for the long term. Fortunately, this is achieved as a side effect of making a profit when you use the profit process strategy explained earlier in this book. Lesson 10. Audience fatigue. Although your email list is important, you should never stop adding new subscribers and customers to it. The moment you turn off the waterfall set or new traffic, you're on a ticking time bomb until people stop responding to your emails. It could be 6 months, it could be a year, or even more, but eventually it's going to happen. So, you should always be acquiring new customers and subscribers, whether you're emailing your list regularly or not. These are my top lessons. What about you? What are the most important lessons you've learned from this experience? Send your answers to me via our support desk at https://support.digitalprosperity.com, and we may feature them in my next book.